This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 18th chapter, the first three verses. 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 3. And it came to pass when David had finished speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit or knotted together with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took David that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. A covenant of love. Something that we have all entered into in our lives and with certain individuals where we find our hearts knotted together in love and we make a covenant of love. It's especially outstanding on Jonathan's part here. For David was a new star rising on the scene. Jonathan had been a mighty warrior. He had been a national hero. As the son of the king, he had showed himself valiant in battle. With just his armor bearer, he went over and braved the armies of the Philistines and defeated them. He had been a national hero, but now a new hero has arisen on the scene who had the bravery to go out and face the giant Goliath and defeat him. And now the people are acclaiming the exploits of David. And Jonathan could easily, as his father Saul, become jealous of David, thinking this guy is taking away, you know, my position of glory. But instead, he loved David as his own soul. You know, when you truly love somebody, rather than being jealous at the glory that comes to them, you rejoice in the honors that are bestowed upon them. Because of your love for them, you're excited that other people recognize the excellent traits and characteristics, and you rejoice when they are exalted. Jonathan could have been jealous because his father Saul had placed David now over the armies. Jonathan had been relieved of his position of chief over the armies of Saul, and it had now gone to David. But rather than being jealous, he rejoiced because he loved David as his own soul. Jonathan was the heir apparent to the throne. And yet it seems now that maybe David is going to be the king, the next king over Israel. And Jonathan could have been jealous over the fact that the popular mode of the people is turning towards David. And that maybe he will not be the next king, but David would be the next king. And even in acknowledgement of that, he took his robe off and gave it to David, rejoicing because of the love that he had, a true love that rejoices when the lover is exalted. Love is a very strong and powerful force. I'm not certain that it is as powerful as some men seek to attribute to its powers. I remember a song, "Love Makes the World Go Round." I'm not certain that that's scientifically correct. But I'll tell you, it keeps me going on the world that goes round. It's that motive force that, you know, that just causes you to go the extra mile. It makes life worthwhile. It makes you, you know, get up and try again. powerful motivating force. And history is replete with stories of people who have been motivated to heroic acts because of love. People who have endured extreme hardships because of love. People who through love have risen to the challenge and thrown back insurmountable odds. What a powerful force love is. There is no stronger or deeper bond than that of love. Mother love is legendary. It is almost an instinct. We see it manifested in some of the animal kingdom, not all. There are some in the animal kingdom, mothers who just desert their offspring. But if a mother should desert her offspring, not only are they responding as an animal, but they are, as the scripture said, without natural affection, because there is a natural bond between the mother and her child. I thank God for the privilege of experiencing that natural bond. How I thank God for the love of my mother. What love she bestowed upon us as kids growing up. Just manifested in so many special ways. I also had the opportunity of observing that same kind of mother love when I was able to watch my wife Kay and her love for our children. And I saw how love motivated the hours of agony and prayer as our children's destinies were in the balances at those times of life when they weren't all that we were hoping they would be. And yet the intercession, the not letting go, the holding on in prayer, that love, what a beautiful thing to see. The sacrifices that it's willing to make, that strong bond of mother love. Then we see the love of a man for his bride. I get to see it close hand. As I'm standing here before the altar of the Lord with that young fella and gal who are so much in love, I see them as they gaze into each other's eyes, peering deeply into each other's soul. I'm close enough that I can see and read the lips that say, "I love you." And their bodies almost vibrate with excitement of that special moment when they are making their covenant of love and saying, "Until death do us part." Beautiful covenant of love. Committing your lives to one another for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. But even greater than that love is the love that you see in a couple who have now lived together for 50 years. They've been through all of the storms, the rough weather. There is now a bond that is so deep, they don't even have to talk to each other. They know what the other one is thinking. And they can say their words before they do. And to see them holding hands, to see them looking at each other through those years of experience, the covenant of love that was made is still holding strong. How beautiful. A covenant of love. There is the love of camaraderie. A fraternal kind of love, a love that men experience in their relationship with other men. As you are playing together, say, on a team, your admiration for the other's ability, or oftentimes manifested in a platoon where men are bound together as they are fighting for their families and for their country and for their freedom. That kind of love that causes a man to throw his body down on a live grenade and to take the impact of the explosion in order that he might save the lives of the others within his platoon. And as Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, then a man will lay down his life for his friends. And we read of those acts of heroism motivated by love. And we marvel and rejoice. In covenants of love that have been made. But the covenant of love that I want to talk to you about today is greater than that covenant that was made between Jonathan and David. It is greater than that that is made between a husband and wife. It is the covenant of love that God seeks to make with you today. For God loves you with a love that defies our ability to understand. Paul prayed that the Ephesians might know the love of Christ, which he said passes human understanding. For God manifested his love towards you by sending his only begotten son. You see, he gave his best. And that is a characteristic of love. It wants to give. And love is often measured by its gifts. And the gift is measured by its cost. And it cost God tremendously to show you his love, for he gave his only begotten son, his best, to show you that he really cared. Now, if I should find in a dumpster a bouquet of wilted flowers, and I pull them out of the dumpster and arrange them and take them home and offer them to my wife, it's not really saying much. Say, I love you, dear. You know, here are the wilted flowers. Of course, I have the opportunity many times after a funeral to take my wife some gorgeous bouquets. Come on, I don't rip them off the grave. People don't always have graves. They leave them here at the church and say, do with them what you want. And there are times I take my wife $100 bouquets. I mean, they are filled with orchids and beautiful flowers. And she said, did you have a funeral today? And because I picked them up free, though they are costly, it doesn't mean that much. It doesn't mean as much as if I stop by the corner and pick up a bunch of carnations from these little kids and take them home. Love wants to show itself by giving. God sought to show his love by giving to you. He gave his best. Paul tells us that God commended or demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. John tells us in his first epistle, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for your sins. And having loved you, God then sought to enter into a love covenant with you. Because God's love for you is so great that God wants to spend eternity with you, not until death do us part, but until death do us unite us together forever. God's love for you. The desire that God has of entering into a covenant love with you. And so Jesus, the night before he was crucified, took the cup and he said to his disciples, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. A new covenant, it is a love covenant. For because of God's love, Jesus gave his life. He took your sins. He took your guilt. He took your condemnation. He took your just deserts. He took the penalty and the wrath of God against you. Or against your sins. And he established God's love covenant with us through his death. And now God invites you to enter into that love covenant with him. What it requires is that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. You see, God wants this love covenant with you in order that you might become his child also, so that he can live his life through you. It's interesting how parents, dads especially, like to live their lives through their sons. My dad was no exception. When I was 2 years old, he put a ball glove in my hand and started throwing balls at me. By the time I was 4, I was able to proficiently field balls that he would be hitting to me. Always throwing footballs at me, put the basketball hoops in the yard wherever we were. Always had basketballs or baseballs or footballs, tennis. And in my later years, as I was out on the field, though there would be thousands of people yelling and cheering when I had scored a touchdown, I could always hear my dad's voice above the rest of them. He could out-yell them all. I'm told that in the stands, he would bow to the people and say, that's my son. Living his life through his son. Hoping that his son's achievements would exceed his. proud of his son, and glorying in the glory that came to his son. Our Heavenly Father is much the same. We earthly dads, Jesus quite often drew the comparison, if ye earthly fathers, how much more your Heavenly Father. I know how I enjoyed living through my sons in their achievements. I love the way Chuck Jr. can play ball. He can hit a long ball. Jeff also, but Jeff's forte was really in fielding. He's one of the most outstanding fielders I've ever seen. He can catch balls that are impossible. People just love to watch him play ball because of his ability to cover the field, and he has an arm like a rifle. I've seen him take a first hop hit into left field and throw the guy out on first. I mean, just a rifle shot to first base and throw them out. And that's my boy. I mean, he's all right, you know. Your Heavenly Father was also proud of his son. And there were special moments in the life of Jesus where God said, "That's my boy." You remember at the baptism, there came a voice from heaven saying, "That's my boy. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." At the Mount of Transfiguration, God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And you see, God wants to live his life through you. And as you enter into this covenant relationship with God, it then makes it possible for God to begin to live his life through you. And we read where, in the case of Job, God was bragging about his son Job. When Satan was up there accusing the world, God said, "Have you seen Job? Hey, good man. He loves good and hates evil." God bragging on his faithful son Job. And God wants to live his life through you. He wants your life to be a testimony of what he is. He wants you to do exploits for him. And we have that opportunity of entering into this love covenant with God and being used by God to reveal himself to the world around us. If you enter into this love covenant with God, God in the covenant agrees to provide for you and to take care of you completely, watching over you, keeping you, providing for you, shielding, protecting. In the 91st Psalm, towards the end of that psalm, it is interesting to notice the change of voice where the psalmist begins by, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide neath the shadow of the Almighty," and how God is our refuge and our strength and all, and you know how he'll protect, shield, and so forth. And he's extolling God and God's care and provision and all. But then when you get to the last few verses, you'll notice a change of voice, and God responds to the psalmist, and he said, "Because he has set his love upon me." Because he has responded and entered into this love covenant with me, "No evil shall befall his dwelling, for I will give my angels charge over him to keep him in all of his ways, to bear him up, lest at any time he dash his foot against a stone." And God begins to tell what he's going to do for you when you've entered into this love covenant with him, "Because he has set his love upon me." And all of the blessings and the rich benefits that are mine when I enter into this love covenant with God. For you see, ultimately, as I have entered into this love covenant with God, He is going to bring me into His presence that I might dwell with Him forever. And throughout the ages to come, He's going to reveal to me the exceeding richness of His love and kindness toward me in Christ Jesus. In other words, God loves you so much, it's going to take all of eternity to reveal it. God's love, so rich, so pure, so measureless and strong. If we, with ink, the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. And God loves me. And God loves you. And He wants to enter into a love covenant with you today. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for that richness of your love that we have experienced through Jesus Christ. And Lord, our soul longs after Thee. Our soul thirsts for Thee. Lord, there is deep within us that yearning, that drawing, that reaching out to receive your love and to respond to your love. O Lord, we want to enter into a love covenant with you where we pledge our love. In Jesus' name, amen. God invites you to enter into this love covenant with Him. And if you desire to respond, I would encourage you to just go back to the prayer room and there open up your heart and just begin to tell Him you love Him and appreciate His love for you. And then may God be with you this week as you go out into an unlovely world. But may you be the bearer of God's love to that world in which you live. May God through you bring His love to that needy, thirsty world around you. And may God make you the instrument of His love this week. In Jesus' name.